Thank you. Yeah, it was family video, and we were searching for some dumb movie to watch, and found the pastor there, and he said, "What's on your heart?" I said, "Church planning." He said, "You need to meet me for coffee." I said, "Okay." We met for coffee. At the end of the conversation, he said, "There's a guy named Heath," because I told him I just want to team up with a great church plant. He said, "A guy named Heath, and I love the guy, and it's going to be special. It's in Wilmington." Went into the van, committed to it. I knew we were going to go about 2 minutes into it. Then we came home. I came home and told Samantha, and she was cool with it, so about 20 minutes, we were ready to leave everything. So that's how we roll. We're spontaneous, insane people. It's good that God only made one of me. Well, we're talking about peace today, and it comes at an interesting time in light of news and what's been going on in Baltimore and in multiple cities. Been really wrecked over what's gone on, seeing the footage, and Baltimore is really close to me because we have family in Baltimore. Samantha has family in Baltimore, and my aunt and uncle are church planners in Baltimore right now. We had the privilege of meeting their team, and it was an amazing time in January, and they are just gospelers. They just gospel. They believe the gospel, they live the gospel. They're some of the most selfless people I know. And he actually was preaching in January, he preached a sermon on reconciliation, tearing down borders, barriers. He just can't stand distinctions. And I just was watching the footage and was thinking, you know what? I'm so glad they're there because Baltimore needs them. And so keep them in your prayers. Keep Baltimore in your prayers. And there's a lot of hurting people in our country right now. And it's very serious. So I just want to say that in the outset. This is not a sermon I whipped up, you know, this past week and saw the chaos and thought, peace must now rule. You know, the title makes it sound so like, rah! It's not a Tarzan message. I'm going to be talking about peace in your heart, your personal walk. But I had to mention that, so we'll pray for that in a moment. But everyone's good? We're good? I'm going to read the scripture, and then we're going to pray and dig into it, okay? Talking about peace. I need a water stand. Here we go. Talking about peace. Peace is not optional, okay? Peace is not delayed for a later time. I'll have peace when I'm dead. I'll be in glory. There'll be no more problems. I'll have peace when I have that job. Or I'll have peace when my finances are in order. I'll finally have peace once I meet a spouse. Peace is not optional. It's not delayed. Peace must rule. Now, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about peace. We're going to be in Romans 5. We're going to be looking at the first 8 verses. It reads this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces character, or produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I'm not worthy to bring your word today to these amazing people. They're your kids. They're your children. I'm just a simple man who is trying to walk out this purpose. So I'm going to really need you, Holy Spirit, because you take peace very seriously. Life is not good without peace. So I'm going to need your help. Heavenly Father, you're the greatest dad ever, and we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start with the main line here. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amazing, amazing line to start with. You know, man has been searching for peace since Genesis chapter 3. They ruined total paradise, and God promised provision for it to be brought back in Genesis 3:15, that it would come back. And mankind waited, and mankind, its fundamental design, was meant for peace. We were not meant for anything except peace. It's outside of our design. You want to know why it's miserable to live without peace? We weren't designed for it. And God sent Christ to bring the peace back. We get it through faith. That's the fundamental building block of our belief system. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, saying yes to Jesus, and then we have peace with God. What does that mean, peace with God? Well, simple way to look at it is that there's no enmity between us and God, meaning we have good relationship with him. Anytime we want, we could go up to God and just say, hey, how are you doing? Talk with him. He talks with us. We have a restored relationship. Came at a big cost. Jesus shed his blood to give that to us. But that's peace. But beyond that relationship, what does that peace look like? Well, what I love about these eight verses, this is just fundamental building block Christianity. Paul is talking in a way that he just assumes that this is the way it is. This is the way we live life. We have that faith, and then we have peace with that faith. The two are tied. Faith and peace, they're tied concepts. Then he talks about how we stand in grace, meaning you don't deserve what you have. Are we all good at this point? Good? We don't deserve it. And then he says something interesting. He said, this is what Christians do. He said, we rejoice in hope. That's easy, isn't it? God gives a lot of hope to us. So we have restored relationship, that's peace. And God speaks hope to us. Those are all the promises of God. He speaks hope to us, and we rejoice in those. That's good. Yay! So in good times, we think of everything that God is giving us, and we think, yay, 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 yay. We rejoice in hope. And that's a manifestation of the peace. The peace is not an isolated, compartmentalized relationship entity. It spills over into everything. And we rejoice in that hope. God speaks hope and we rejoice. And it says, verse 3, it says, not only that, things are about to get really weird. He says, not only that, we rejoice in sufferings. And he gives this list. Suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character brings hope. You see, when times are good, we can hope in God. That hope is good. It's sweet. It's called peace. When times are bad, we can hope in God because sufferings lead to hope. All roads lead to hope in the Christian walk. There's a reason they call it gospel, good news, because it's the best news ever. Good times, hope. Bad times, hope. Then he says this, we know that hope won't disappoint us. How do we know that's not going to disappoint us? One would scarcely die for a good person. But you guys? Jesus died for you guys? Christ died for me? It says in verse 8, God showed his love for you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. If Jesus Christ would die the most violent death of all history for you, and he gives you hope, you can trust in that hope. That is hope that will not disappoint. The Christian walk is equated with peace. You have faith, and when you have faith, that means you believe in the hope. All the roads lead to hope. Good times, bad times, all lead to hope. So we all have peace because we think, well, we can't have peace like Eden because everything going on around us. And the scriptures, they don't give any exceptions at all. Maybe we think they should, but they don't, because peace is not optional and peace is not delayed. Peace must rule now. But we struggle with peace, don't we? Take courage. The disciples struggled with peace too. There's a story of Jesus teaching 5,000 people, 5,000 men. They didn't say how many women and children. And the people were hungry, and the disciples, they were starting to panic. They had no peace about this situation. And they said, where are we going to get food? They're totally panicking. And Jesus took care of it. He fed them all of them, all 5,000 plus. That was in Mark chapter 6. Two chapters later, Jesus is teaching. There are 4,000 men. Nobody ever talks about the feeding of the 4,000. It's like the lesser than. It's 1,000 less. And people just treat it like it's not equal. It's still a miracle. There are 4,000 people there. And the disciples freak out again. Guess how much peace they have? This much. They had no peace. They totally freak out. And one of the disciples has a lot of gall. And he says, how can one satisfy these people in the wilderness? Whoa. Dude, you just saw Jesus two chapters ago feed 5,000 people. And you just called Jesus out and said, how can somebody feed 4,000 people? These guys had no peace whatsoever. And Jesus fed everybody. It's just what he does. Well, it gets worse. Later on in the chapter, they get in a boat. All right, this is literally just after the feeding of the 4,000. And I don't know which disciple was in charge of bringing the bread on the boat, that the scripture said there's only one loaf of bread on the boat. And guess what the disciples do? They freak out. They have, how much peace do they have? Zip. They just watched Jesus feed 5,000. They watched him feed 4,000. And that just happened. And there are 13 dudes in a boat with one loaf of bread. And they are panicking because they don't know how they're going to eat. It's like, dude, you have a food creator in your boat. And Jesus says something that's interesting. And I can almost hear sadness in it. He says this. He says, how is it that you do not understand? And he actually talked through, did I not feed 5,000?
Well,
how do you guys not get it? There was an emphasis that Jesus had on peace in his teaching, and the disciples heard it a lot, but they just didn't ever get it. One of my favorite examples is in Matthew 11, verse 30, where he says, my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. When you sign up for this Christianity thing, Jesus said that the burden of that is easy. He says the yoke is easy, the burden is light. This Christian walk, in a way, is hard because you're doing things that people around you aren't doing. But Jesus assumes that we have peace. Because, hey, when you sign this dotted line, I want you to know that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's peace. Peace is part of the deal. Well, these disciples, they never got very good at peace. Ever. And Jesus ends up dying. And they are all together, and it's Saturday, and their leader is dead, and they never believed Jesus when he was here on earth, so now that he's gone, they're certainly not going to believe what he said. And they plunge into total despair. They have no peace. These disciples, I'm telling you, I just want to smack every single one of them, loving smack, just one by one, just here, come here, come here. I'm not going to hurt you, Peter. Come here, just a little closer. Let me see your unibrow. Come here, come here, come here. Just smack them. They had no peace. Then later on, Sunday, people came to them and said, hey, I saw Jesus. They had so little peace. They're like, liars. No, I don't think so. And Peter and John at least were like, well, they're probably lying. They are women. We'll check it out and see. They had no peace. And then Jesus comes to them in John 20, comes to the disciples. First thing he says, I'm back. Give me a loaf of bread. I'll show you I'm not a spirit. Oh, first thing out of Jesus' lips to these disciples who have not experienced peace, he said, peace be with you. Oh. And it says, and they were glad. So they're looking at him. They're filled with joy. And Jesus repeats himself and he says, peace be with you. The dude said it twice. Wow. And then he said another line I love. He breathed on him. That's weird. Pre-tic-tac days, but that's okay because Jesus is resurrected. So maybe he had resurrection breath. And he breathed on him. Breathed on him. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. That mirrors Genesis chapter 2 when God breathed the breath of life into man. He breathed on him. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit's the only way that you get peace? So Jesus' first three sentences are all about peace. And he was going to give it to him, and he did. Acts chapter 2, the church is born. The Holy Spirit comes, and they experience peace. And this is something that even secular scholars can't explain. Secular scholars, I know this because I've studied under a couple bozos like this. Secular scholars are all dumbfounded by the disciples. They don't know what to do with them because historically they know that the disciples were these wormy little guys that had no peace. And suddenly, boom, Jesus dies, and these people don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus dies, all of a sudden these disciples are walking in amazing peace. They can't explain it. Then again, peace can't be explained because the scriptures say that it's beyond our understanding. Peace is not optional. It's not delayed for a later time or a later circumstance. Peace must rule now. So how do you get peace? Do you feel like you're walking in peace? How do you get peace? We all have areas where we don't have perfect peace, right? How do you get it? Well, we know peace comes from the Spirit. It says in Galatians that fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Which makes sense because in Romans 5, it says we've been justified by faith, and we know from other scriptures that once you've been justified by faith, you receive the Spirit. And when you receive the Spirit, you start to grow things like love and peace and patience and all this great stuff. And peace is one of those fruits of the Spirit. It grows. It just kind of happens. So if we're not experiencing it, what's wrong? What do we do? Well, I think one of the things that holds us back from experiencing peace is that our minds and our hearts are so enthralled with everything around us that we lose focus of our faith. It says in the scriptures, set your mind on things above. If you're always thinking about down here and all this garbage is coming at you, do you think you're going to have peace? If you're huddled down here and you're not setting your mind on things above, because you're not grounded. It says you've already been seated in heavenly places with Christ. We're seated there, and we're to go there. So what does that look like? It looks different for different people. But one of the big ways is reading the Bible. Reading the Bible, we know, grows your faith and it sets your mind on things above. It gives you a picture of who God is, teaches us about him, and that's setting our mind on things above. Taking our focus off of here, because we're obsessed with here, aren't we? When we set our mind up there, we can start to have peace. Another big way is giving thanks. When you give thanks, that's acknowledging that you didn't do it, right? So we give thanks. Wake up in the morning. Try to find something to say thank you about. Maybe when you're in the car on the way to work, instead of putting on the radio, thank God for the fact that if you're like most people, you've gone a really long time without an accident. Or spend that time thanking God for things in that area that you struggle with peace. Saying, God, you know, I struggle with peace, but thank you for this. When your kids are acting insane, I mean literally insane, instead of getting angry and, you crazy kid, you're just like me, stopping and saying, God, from the bottom of your heart, because everyone has something to be thankful for, God, thank you so much that you've kept James safe through all these years. You kept him safe through the womb. You've kept him safe all these days. I love him, and I can't imagine life without him. What do I have there? I felt it there. I said it as an example, and I felt it. What is that? That's peace. That's peace. Did you know that was God's design? You can have that. How hard is a thank you? You can have it. Set your mind on things above. Because peace really isn't optional. God doesn't want you to be miserable. This is good news. I'm not giving you an extra task. Peace must rule in your life because that's the best thing for you. You know how happy you get when you have peace? Peace. There was a man in the early church. His name was Stephen. And Stephen, this dude was awesome. The scriptures say he was full of the Spirit. And when you're full of the Spirit, you're full of peace, right? He was full of the Spirit. And Stephen, he's in a room surrounded by men, grown men, not four-year-olds, grown men who are gnashing their teeth like dogs. They're acting like animals. High priest is near. Chihuahua from hell. And they want to kill him. Literally, they want to kill him. And the scriptures say that he was in that moment full of the Spirit, and he looked in the Spirit and he saw Jesus. This dude was in another place. Talk about setting your mind on things above. This dude was experiencing total peace, and he was living out what for a lot of guys would be a worst case scenario. And he had total peace. All he could see was Jesus. How beautiful is that? And then he did something awesome, because at this point he doesn't care. Because remember, rejoice in hope, rejoice in sufferings. He's in a place of peace. He's in Eden. He doesn't give a rip. He tells them, I see Jesus. Oh, they went from gnashing their teeth and acting like dogs to hauling him outside to kill him. And he had so much peace. Oh, he was in another place. He was full of the Spirit. He didn't care. It doesn't matter. Every road leads to hope. He had peace with God. Who gives a rip? They were murdering him. They were throwing rocks at him. And he's so full of peace, he said, Lord, this is his last sentence, by the way. Lord, don't charge them with this. Whoa, that charge is a legal term. He's like, don't hold them accountable. When you list off their sins, don't even mention this one. Because you don't have to. I'm in peace. Don't even hold it against him. No, you don't have to. Just get out the divine eraser. Peace. And it says he fell asleep. It's a phrase in the early church for dying that just shows so much immense peace. Because to the early church, they had Jesus' words fresh in mind from John 17, that eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. So in the early church mindset, they were already in eternal life. So it's just falling asleep. And he had peace. And standing to the side, watching it all happen, was a man who would later write Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace. Do you want some? He's here right now. He kept your heart beating while I was talking. Boom, 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 boom. That's how much he loves you. He can give it to you right now. Peace is not optional. It's not delayed. Peace must now rule in your heart. And I don't know about you, but I'm done with life without peace. Let's all pray. We're going to get peace right now. We're going to get peace. Think of one area where you do not have peace right now. Think of one area where if God literally showed up to you bodily and said, I'll take care of any area of your life, you don't have to worry about it anymore. What area would you say? It's a good clue. What area of your life do you lack peace in? Do you got it? And I want you to picture holding that. You don't have to physically do your hands like this. I want you to picture holding that before the Lord. Let's give it to him. Scriptures say that you can rejoice in hope, you can rejoice in sufferings. And since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And Jesus ordered peace to be to you right now. Because if he ordered it in the disciples, he's ordered it to you because you're his child just as much as they were. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray peace and tranquility in that situation, Lord. Whatever situation we are holding up right now to you, Lord, I pray that you would take it. Give us the courage to take you at your word when you say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, you are no liar. And if your yoke is easy and your burden is light, whatever this thing is that we're holding up to you, it's got to be taken care of. And we believe right now in Jesus' name, you will bring in peace. Now, I want you to do something powerful. Keep that area in your mind. I want you to thank God for something about that area from the bottom of your heart, okay? I'll give you an example. If your area of lacking peace is in finances and you've never been bankrupt, which that's like absolutely horrible, you can genuinely from your heart say, you know what, God? I've been struggling in this area, but I honestly praise you. It's only by your grace that I've never gone bankrupt, and I love you for it. Thank you so much. That thanksgiving releases something. It releases something in the spirit. So think of something to say thank you to God for. I can't get into your minds to see if you're doing it, but oh, it's a peace buffet and you got a ticket if you got Jesus. It's a peace buffet. We don't force you to eat, but you should. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, one more interactive fun thing. We mentioned setting your mind on things above. Think of one thing that you can start doing in your life to intentionally set your mind on things above. Because if you're lacking peace, that means you need to go up there more often. That could be, listen, every day on the way to work, instead of putting on the radio, I'm just going to talk to God. Or you know what? When I'm waiting in line at the lunchroom, I'm going to intentionally set my mind on things above and think about you, Lord, and talk to you. Something small. Don't be extreme. Don't make it every time I breathe or every time I, you know, every time I walk around. No, just one simple thing. Get peace. Get peace. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you are our Prince of Peace. You are our Prince of Peace. And we love you so much. Give us real peace in these things we committed to you, and hold us to what we just said we would do with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.